And a good Sunday morning to you this morning. My name is Keith Greer. I'm the local minister at the Harrisburg Church of Christ, and I want to thank you for taking the time to listen to our radio broadcast this morning. We encourage you to listen each Sunday morning at this time as we endeavor to give you a reason of the hope that lies within us. We also encourage you to check out our website, churchofchristatharrisburg.com. You will find many valuable resources that will aid you in your study of God's Word. At the end of this broadcast, you'll be given the meeting times of our services at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. We cordially invite you to any or all of these services. You will always be warmly received. We are looking at giving you reasons why we believe certain things. This morning, we want to examine the question, why we believe miracles have ceased. Several religious groups believe in miracles today. Pentecostals, the Charismatics, the Nazarenes, and even some Baptists, among others, believe in Bible miracles today. Some rely on the miracles for healing, therefore will not seek medical help. Others seek medical help and then claim that their healing is a miracle. Some have faith healing services, as Mr. Oral Roberts did some years in the past, when there is a campaign to heal the masses of sickness. Those who believe that miracles are present today believe that Holy Spirit baptism, as the apostles had, is for believers today. Let us consider why we believe miracles, Bible miracles, have ceased. The purpose has been accomplished. The miracles performed in the New Testament were not merely for the betterment of man. Not all with whom the apostles came in contact were healed. Would it not seem likely that the apostles would have had large healing campaigns or dead-raising sessions if miracles were merely to improve man's condition? Miracles were for the confirmation of the message or claim. When Jesus sent his apostles out, the text says, and they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them, confirming their word through accompanying signs, Mark 16:20. The word of confirmation has been accomplished. The word was confirmed according to Hebrews 2, verses 3 and 4. Thus we need no more further confirmation process. The Holy Spirit came upon the apostles to reveal the word. The Spirit would guide the apostles into all truth, John 16:13. The Spirit would teach them all things, John 14:26. There is no need for further revelation, since the Word of God is complete and thoroughly equips us to every good work, 2 Timothy 3:17 and 2 Peter 1, verse 3. The Holy Spirit coming upon the Gentiles proved that the Gentiles are now gospel subjects, Acts 11, verse 18. There is no need for additional proof that the Gentiles can be saved just like the Jews. Since the purpose has ceased, we must conclude Bible miracles have also ceased. Holy Spirit baptism has ceased. There are only two cases of Holy Spirit baptism in the New Testament. The first case is the apostles. The promise of Holy Spirit baptism was given to them in Acts 1, verse 4 and 5. On the day of Pentecost, it was the apostles who received the Spirit and spoke in tongues, Acts 2, 1-4. Notice that the they and them in these verses were filled with the Spirit refers to the narrant antecedent, the apostles, in Acts 1, verse 26. What was the purpose for the apostles receiving the Holy Spirit? The Spirit would reveal the truth, John 16:13. He would show them things to come, and they would be taught all things, and they would bring all things to their remembrance, John 14:26. The second case is Cornelius in Acts 10, 11, and verse chapter 15 that's mentioned. Did he and his household receive the Holy Spirit baptism? Peter said that the Holy Spirit was poured out on the Gentiles, also in Acts 10, 45. Two verses later, he said they received the Holy Spirit, just as they had in verse 47. That tells us that they received what was like what the apostles received. Furthermore, when Peter retold the story at Jerusalem, he said the Spirit fell upon the Gentiles as on us at the beginning, Acts 11:15. What happened at the house of Cornelius reminded Peter of what was promised to the apostles, and their gift to the Spirit was a like gift, just as they did to us, Acts 15:8. Thus we conclude the household of Cornelius received the Holy Spirit baptism. What was the purpose of this? When Peter told the brethren in Jerusalem what had happened, their conclusion was that God had granted the Gentiles repentance to life, Acts 11:18. It was to prove that the Gentiles are now recipients of the gospel. Those who had Holy Spirit baptism could do the following. They could speak with tongues, Acts 2, verse 4, and also 10, verse 46. They could heal the lame, Acts 3, verse 6 through 11. Strike one dead, Acts 5, 7 through 10. Raise the dead, Acts 9, 36, and also Acts 20, verse 9. They could strike one blind, Acts 13. They could speak without taking thought, Matthew 10, 19. And they could impart miraculous gift in Acts 8, 17 and 18. Today, such things cannot be done. There is one baptism, Ephesians 4, verse 5. Holy Spirit baptism and water baptism differ in a number of ways. They differ in the element. The element of the Holy Spirit baptism is the Holy Spirit. The element of water baptism is water, Acts 8, verse 38. They differ in one who administers the baptism. Jesus baptizes with the Holy Spirit, John 1, 33. Man baptized with water, according to Matthew 28, 19. They differ in nature. Holy Spirit baptism is a promise. Water baptism is a command, Mark 16, 16. They differ in their purpose. Holy Spirit baptism was to reveal the truth. Water baptism is for salvation, Mark 16, 16. Since there is only one baptism today, Ephesians 4, 5, that which of the two has ceased. There is not a continual need to reveal the truth, but there is a continual need for men to be saved. Thus we conclude the Holy Spirit baptism has ceased. Miracles would cease with the complete revelation. A thorough study of 1 Corinthians 12 through 14 deals with miraculous spiritual gifts. Chapter 12 deals with the enumeration of those gifts. Chapter 13 deals with the duration of those gifts, which were temporary. And chapter 14 deals with the regulation of those gifts. Let's focus on the duration. In Matthew 13, 8 through 10, the miracle gifts would cease when the perfect came. Prophecy, tongue, and knowledge would fail, cease, and vanish away, verse 8. This would occur when that which is perfect had come, verse 10. What is that which is perfect? The word perfect means complete rather than flawless or sinless. Those who contend that miracles are being performed today argue that the perfect means flawless or sinless, thus it's a reference to the second coming of Christ. Thayer's lexicon says the word means brought to its end, finished, wanting nothing necessary to completeness. Perfect. Vine's dictionary says, signifies having reached to its end, finished, complete, perfect. Strong says, complete. Lindell and Scott says, complete, perfect, entire. The perfect is put in contrast to that which is in part, partial or incomplete. Consider the word perfect as used in Matthew 5:48, which says that we are to be perfect as God is. Can we be flawless or sinless? The context shows that complete is the ideal. Just as God sends rain on the just and the unjust, so we must love those who love us and love our enemies. That which in part is God's revelation, thus perfect is God's revelation. The text says, for we know in part, we prophesied in part, in verse 9 of chapter 13. Knowledge and prophecy involve the revelation of God's will. Thus, God's revelation was referred to as being in part, incomplete. The perfect, complete, then refers to knowledge and prophecy, God's revelation. When God's revelation would be complete, the miraculous gifts would cease. God's word is complete. Please read James 1, verse 25. The perfect must be the same as the nature which is in part. Don't forget that the contrast is between that which is in part, partial or incomplete, and that which is perfect, complete. We know that which is in part is the revelation of God, 1 Corinthians 13:9. Thus, that which is perfect cannot refer to the coming of Christ. That would not make sense. Let's illustrate. I would not talk about a partially full wheelbarrow and then say, when I get a full coffee cup, I will. As absurd as it seems, it makes as much sense as speaking about the partial revelation and then saying, when the perfect Christ comes. It would make sense to speak a partially full ice cream cone, and then say, when I have a perfect complete cone, I will begin to eat it. Notice the thing that in part is the same nature in that which is complete. Thus our text speaks of revelation being in part, then adds that when the complete revelation comes, the miraculous will be done away with in verse 10. Two illustrations from the context help us understand. First, an immature boy who grows into a mature man. Paul said, "When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things." The one immature is the same one who becomes mature. The second illustration is for when we see in a mirror, dimly, but now face to face, now I know in part, but when I shall know, just as I am known. Verse 12. The same one who looks at himself in the mirror is the one who sees himself face to face. Thus, we conclude that 1 Corinthians 13:8-10 tells us the miraculous gifts would cease when the complete revelation came, and that has already taken place. But lastly, there is no evidence of miracles today. Those who claim to work miracles today are not doing the kind of miracles that we read about in the New Testament. If anyone today has what the apostles said, they could do any of the following. They could speak with tongues. That's an unknown language that they never studied. They could do wonders and signs, as we read in Acts 2:43. They could heal all the lame. They wouldn't just begin to feel better. They would be better without having a relapse of their illness. They would be able to strike one dead, Acts 5, as Ananias and Sapphira were, but they can't. They would heal everyone, but they can't. They would raise the dead, but they can't. They would strike one blind, but they can't. They would speak without taking any thought, but they can't. Is there anyone who can do all these things today? Not a person. In the absence of these miracles, we conclude that no miracles exist today. Ladies and gentlemen, think about the so-called healers of our day. What do they heal? Things that cannot be seen. Hearing loss. Cancer inside the body. They don't heal anything that's visible, anything that's concrete, anything that can be proven that somebody has without having a relapse. I've went to faith healing services. I've watched the show that they put on. They cannot do what they promised. And Mark chapter 16 and 20 was not given to us, it was given to the apostles for the reason of confirming the word. Such Bible miracles today are nothing more than fake, and they are nothing more than ways and means of extorting money from the masses. Even the television evangelists who claim to do miracles have been exposed as being false. Benny Hinn, Rod Parsley, Oral Roberts, Robert Tilton, and I could go on and on. Such men have been proved to be erroneous and not accurate and false. Therefore, we conclude that there are no Bible miracles today. Now, I didn't say that God couldn't do a miracle. I said there are no Bible miracles, instantaneous, where God intervenes with natural law. We have no evidence of that. Therefore, if God does that, that is His business and He does not reveal it. There are no Bible miracles today. Lastly, this morning, we would like to thank you for listening to our broadcast in 2013. We want to wish our listening audience a Happy New Year as we begin, if the Lord allows, for us to begin a new year in 2014. We hope you'll come and listen next Sunday morning at this time as we begin a new year in examining the message of truth to reveal what God's Word has said, that you might be open-minded and study with an open Bible and come to better understand and to serve the true and living God. Thank you for listening, and have a wonderful day.